हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्तां वंदे गुरु परंपरा पतये नमस्ते स्तु लंबोदराय कदंताय विघ्ननाशिने वसुताय श्री वरद मूर्तये नमो नमः। ओम श्रीमन महागणाधिपतये नमः। ओम आप्यायन्तु ममांगानि वाक् प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु। तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। यू आल् नो वेरी वेल् द वर्ड् उपनिषत् मीन्स् ब्रह्मविद्या, knowledge of the absolute reality. We need not, cannot attain the reality, but we can attain the knowledge of the reality as the very self, one's own real nature. This attainment of the knowledge of one's own real nature is actually the attainment of the knowledge of the absolute reality of the entire universe. And this attainment of knowledge itself is freedom, moksha. Attainment of knowledge itself is the attainment of freedom from limitations. They are not two different things. Knowledge is identical with the moksha, because knowledge is the means to accomplish the end called moksha. But knowledge and moksha are identical. Attainment of knowledge itself is attainment of moksha. And here, this knowledge of the reality as the very nature of one's own self also has to rise in the mind in the form of a thought. Knowledge has to rise. How knowledge of any object rises in the form of a thought, knowledge of the self also has to rise in the form of a thought. And this, for this knowledge to rise, for knowledge to happen, for the attainment of knowledge, mind must be prepared and qualified. And the mental disposition one should have to attain this knowledge is a mind which is predominantly sattvic. A predominantly sattvic mind is said to be the disposition required for contemplation. Disposition of the mind required for contemplation. So Shastram prescribes, but nobody is by birth a predominantly sattvic person. Rare Mahatmas may be there. Naturally, all of us are predominantly tamasic people. even though all the gunas are there, sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna, predominantly we are all tamasic in nature. Therefore, to convert ourselves from being tamasic into rajasic, we have to perform the actions. To fulfill our natural urges, to fulfill our cultivated desires, so we have to perform actions. Mundane and religious activities, secular and sacred activities we are supposed to perform to convert our tamasic nature into rajasic. But when we become rajasic also, and the same karma when we perform with the proper attitude, in conformity with dharma, it will help us to convert our rajasic nature into sattvic nature. And also upasanams, the practice of meditations, will help us to convert the agitated, restless mind into a calm, tranquil mind. And a meditation is always for tranquilizing, calming the mind. It's not for jnanam. And that upasanam, dhyanam, another word for dhyanam is upasanam. And here upasanam means always upon Ishvara. The object of meditation, upasana vishayaha, is called upasyam. Upasyam means to be meditated upon. Upasyam means to be meditated upon, is called upasyam. So any object of meditation also can be known by the word upasyam. Upasya means to be meditated upon. Upasya vishayaha, upasya devata means the devata to be meditated upon. Actually for us, Ishwaraha. When you say Ishwaraha, it is a sagunam brahma. Sagunam brahma means the reality with attributes is given the name Ishwara. So, Saguna Brahma Upasanam is, Ishvara means what? When you look at the reality, the Nirgunam Brahma Chaitanyam, as the cause of the universe, you attribute this Ishvara status to the reality. So, Ishvara is a status attributed to the reality. When you look at the reality as the cause of the universe. So, Ishvara is actually reality. But reality is not Ishvara. And here in this chapter, we've been seeing Dahara Brahma Upasanam. In fact, Dahara Akasha Brahma Upasanam, we have been seeing here. Daharam means small, and Akasha is a small space obtaining within the heart. Hridayakasha, and we are meditating upon Hridayakasha as Brahma, meditation upon Brahman, meditation upon seeing this Hridayakasha as Brahma is called Hridayakasha Brahma Upasanam or Daharakasha Brahma Upasanam. It's called Daharopasanam. I've been seeing this here. And we have completed so many sections. So in these chapters we saw last class, the upasakaha, upasaka stuti we saw first. After having seen the portions discussing the meditation, the glory of a meditator also we saw. The one who practices meditation upon practices this Dahara Upasanam becomes the Satya Kamaha Satya Sankalpaha. We saw those two words, important words. Why is emphasized? Because Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada always mentions this. He likes these two words. Satya Kamaha Satya Sankalpaha means meditator is the one who gets all his desires fulfilled. For he is called Satya Kamaha. And Satya Sankalpaha means he gets his desires fulfilled not by physically doing something. Just by thinking he gets his desires fulfilled. So Satya Kamaha Satya Sankalpaha. Upasakaha, a meditator, is called Satya Kamaha because he can get all his desires fulfilled. Not any meditator. There's so many meditation classes are going on. According to Shastram, they are all pre-preparatory discipline for meditation. They are not considered meditation. Meditation can be called a meditation, a mental act, a pure mental activity, focusing one's attention on an object of meditation, attention in a given thing can be called meditation only if the object of meditation is Ishvara, Sagunam Brahma. Bhagavan must be the object of meditation, only then you can call it a meditation. Otherwise, we don't undermine the discipline. You can only call it a pre-preparatory discipline for meditation. We don't call it a meditation. So here, Dharakasha Brahma, Dahara Brahma Upasanam, Dharopasanam means Dahara Brahma Upasanam, which means Dharakasha is an alambanam, which is meditated upon as Brahma. So here in this, Upasakaha is known as Satya Sankalpaha, Satya Kamaha, because he can get all his desires fulfilled. Second thing, not only he has Satya Kamaha, Satya Sankalpaha means without physically doing anything also, just by thinking he can get all his desires fulfilled. Therefore, he is called Satya Sankalpaha. So, it is Upasaka Stuti. It is the glory of the Upasaka we saw earlier. Then afterwards, in these mantras, in which third section, third section of the seventh chapter, which you've been seeing, which also we finished. Eighth chapter, sorry. Third section of the eighth chapter. We are seeing now. This also we saw, I think, last bit. But I want to brief here. What is there? So after Upasaka Stuti, again the topic of meditation alone continues here. But here, what is subject matter here in this section, the third section of the eighth chapter? The second section we saw, Upasaka Stuti, glory of the meditator, as Satya Sankalpaha Satya Kamaha. And here in this third section we see, glory of the Upasya Devata. Why this Upasaka is glorified? Why Upasya Devata is glorified? Why glorification, if you ask? And Shankara Bhagavatpada says, mainly for inspiring the meditator and to make always glory, somebody has to be glorified, only then we will be, oh, is he really? Why he is glorified? What is the glory for? What is he praised? Then, the one who meditate, the meditator also will have the glory. Upasya Devata is glorified now. Upasya Devata is Ishvara, Sagunam Brahma. So, Saguna Brahma glory is discussed in this third section. And here we saw four different names given to Ishvara as the glory of Ishvara. What are those names? First is Hridyam. Ishvara, this also we saw already, yes, I'm just saying. Ishvara is known by the word Hridyam. Ishvara is glorified as Hridyam. Hridyam means what? One who remains in one's own heart. It means there's no fraction of second. Ishvara, Bhagavan, is away from you. Ishvara is all the time, round the clock, Ishvara is all the time available in one's own mind. Hridi asti, hridi bhavati, hridi vidyate, iti hridyam. This is one glory. Ishvara is not there anywhere else. Ishvara is there very much in one's own mind, as one's own nature. All the time available. What is called hridyam? This comes second, the third mantra comes. Second mantra, we have another word. Hiranya Nidhihi. Bhagavan is called Hiranya Nidhihi. Hiranya Nidhi means a treasure hunt, isn't it? Hiranya means gold. Nidhihi means treasure. Nidhihi means treasure. And Hiranya Nidhihi, Bhagavan is called Hiranya Nidhihi. Why? Because any treasure hidden under the earth, even though we walk on the earth all the time, because of our ignorance, we'll be searching for the hidden treasure, not knowing where it is. It is very much under the feet, you know, where we are walking, but we are not able to. We are just above the treasure, we are standing, we are running around, walking about, but we are not able to enjoy the treasure available just underneath because of the ignorance of, you know, where it is. We are not able to dig and take it because we do not know where it is. The same way, Ishvara is all the time available for recognition, our own mind, as our own real nature, but still not even not as something else, as our own real nature. Ishvara's Hridaya Guhayam, he remains in the cave of our own mind. He remains hidden in the cave of our own mind. But because we do not know, is available as our own real nature, we are searching for Bhagavan. Bhagavan is called Hiranya Nidhihi, a hidden treasure. Hidden in our own mind. This is the second glory. It also we saw. And the third word we saw was Samprasadaha. Samprasadaha. Then Samprasadaha also, Samprasadaha means, actually Prasadaha itself means tranquility. All the time the word Prasadaha reminds us only of Tulsi or Bilwa leaf or some Chandanam, Kumkumam or some food. Prasada means we think only of the food. Isn't it? Okay, what we get from the temples. But Prasadaha actually means mental tranquility, serenity is called Prasadaha. And Samprasadaha means absolute serenity, tranquility. And Ishvara is of the nature of absolute serenity. And even the person who meditates upon Ishvara also can have this serenity. This Samprasadaha. Now, another word we come across here is Satyam. Satyam. The word satyam has three many meanings, but here the word satyam, let me see, before we see the meaning, what actual meaning of the word here, let me tell you. Satyam means the absolute reality, obtaining in the form of existence of everything, as a substratum of everything. Now, water, the reality, is in the form of the existence of the ocean. Isn't it? If you ask, where does the ocean exist? Ocean exists in the water. Without the ocean, water, ocean cannot exist. So, existence enjoyed by the form and name ocean is what? The water. Similarly, here existence of the entire universe is what? We say satyam. This is one meaning. So, absolute reality is known by the word satyam. And another word satyam is what? Truthfulness in speech. Truthfulness is in speech is also called satyam. Satya bhashanam. And here, Upanishad gives a different its own derivation and the meaning. The actual third meaning only we are taking here. Isha is called Satyam. Here the word Saka, the sound, the Satyam should divide into three parts. There Sakaraha stands for timelessness, immortality. Takaraha stands for mortality. And Yam stands for having mastery, one who restrains, one who controls. So, Ishvara is the one who is master of both mortality and immortality. See, knowledge of Ishvara will bless one with attainment of immortality. Ishvara is of the nature of immortality. And Ishvara is the one who has mastery over the time factor. Therefore, the master of mortality also. So, sa, ya, sa, ta, yam. Satyam means the Lord who is master of both mortality and immortality. And here Upanishad also says, one who meditates upon Ishvara as Satyam also will have, what now, will become the master of mortality and immortality. I think this much we have seen already. Have we? It's all old lessons because I didn't see you for 2-3 weeks. I think last week when we missed the class, so I just like I'm recollecting all the things. Okay. Okay. Now we'll see the next new lesson. And what Upanishad says, so one who meditates upon Ishvara definitely practices this upasanam and he will go to Brahmaloka. Once a person goes to Brahmaloka, not only he will go to Brahmaloka, he will have free movement. And the free movement means what? Kamacharaha. Being able to move freely at his will anywhere. Enjoying anything. That is some special punyam he will have. Not only that, he can go to any loka. Ultimately, he'll go to Brahmaloka, highest of the lokas. So, there cannot be another loka, okay, highest of the lokas, reaching which he'll attain jnanam there, and by attaining jnanam there, he'll attain moksha there. And that moksha is called what? Krama muktihi, which is different from sadyo muktihi. Sadyo muktihi, jivan muktihi, means the freedom attained while living in this world here itself is called Jivan Mukti or Sadhya Mukti. Sadhya Mukti means immediate moksha. Jivan Mukti, moksha attained while a person is alive in this here itself. two words you are using. Krama Muktihi means going to Brahmaloka, attaining knowledge there, attaining moksha is called Krama Muktihi. So, Krama Muktihi is the Upasana Phalam. So, Upasana also gives moksha, but not Jivan Muktihi or Sadhya Muktihi. One has to go to Brahmaloka, there also one has to attain Jnanam for attainment of moksha. So, Jnanam is always emphasized. The moksha is not possible without the Jnanam. Knowledge is moksha. So, meditation will not give you moksha directly. Knowledge alone will give you moksha. And that knowledge is attainable here itself. That's what Upanishad wants to emphasize. Okay, this much we have seen already. And we have to see the next section. Here also, the Upasya Devata Stutihi, glory of the Ishvara is presented here also. The same topic is continuing in the next section. So here in this section which we are going to see now, it's the fourth section of the eighth chapter. In this fourth section of the eighth chapter, the two important topics are discussed. One is Upasya Devata Stuti, glory of the Upasya Devata, that is Ishvara. And the importance of Brahmacharya, Brahmacharyam, the discipline of Brahmacharyam. Okay, we'll see both. Let us read here the mantra. Atha ya atma sa setuhu vidhrutihi. Okay, there ends the sentence. Atha ya atma sa setuhu vidhrutihi. Okay. In this word, in this sentence, the word Atma means Ishwaraha. Be very careful. You know, Atma is used in many meanings. In this context, the word Atma means Ishwaraha, the Lord, Sagunam Brahma. Sagunam Brahma Ishwaraha, the object of meditation, Ishwaraha, is called Setuhu. Ishwara is glorified as Setuhu. Another word is vidhrutihi. Setuhu vidhrutihi. Why Ishwaraha, the Lord is known as Setuhu? Atma Setuhu means the Lord is Setuhu. The word Setuhu literally means a bridge. Bridge, isn't it? But here, the word Setuhu does not mean bridge. Generally, the word Setuhu means bridge. Ukaranta Shabda, Setuhu. But here the word Setuhu does not mean bridge. It means a bund. You know, tittu. In the fields, you would have seen, when people in the paddy fields and all, They water the plants, and the water has to stand there, remain there without getting going out somewhere. The water has to remain available for the plants, for them to drink, to absorb, and to enjoy the water. Thereby, for the plants to be healthy, to be alive, for them to be able to absorb the water must remain. The water should not get dissipated, isn't it? For which they will build what? The bund. Isn't it? It's called, we say, Setuhu. And here Bhagavan is here Setuhu. And to protect what? To protect the water in the form of Dharma. dharma water has to be protected. And who is the protector of the dharma water? Is it? The mud setu protects the real water. Thereby all the plants can survive. They remain healthy. They can live. The plants can live, survive. They can remain healthy if the water is protected by the soil setu. Mud setu. But whereas here, Bhagavan setu protects the dharma water so that all the jiva plants can survive. Dharma has to be there. Dharma means what? The universal natural law and order. Bhagavan is dharma gopta, dharma rakshakaha, which means everything must function in its order. The sun is functioning, sun is there means what? There is a given order backing, that's why the sun is there as a sun. There is an order involved in the function of every being. If that order is not maintained, what will happen? For example, even the earth is rotating itself and comes around the sun. Imagine the sun is not stationary, sun starts moving, what will happen? Sun has to remain stationary and the earth has to come rotating itself, come around the sun. Earth has to keep on moving in its orbit. Why? Who asks it? Who is making it? There's an order. Anything, it has to be the way it has to be. It can be seen out externally or it can be seen in our own system also. The heart has to function the way it has to function. You cannot improve the way the heart, human heart is set already. Can we improve it? Science can only help you to study how it is, understand the order, then you can only, isn't it? When you have the benefit of the knowledge of the order. You cannot change. No cardiologist can come and try, why the heart should be here? Why can't I put the heart somewhere else? He can only study the order, and if anything goes wrong with the order already existing, he can bring correct the disorder into order, isn't it? You cannot, because you are a doctor, you can't change the place, remove the heart and put elsewhere. It has to be only fixed there. So, where the heart has to be, there the heart is. Where the lungs have to be, there the lungs are. How the lungs have to function, they are functioning. How the kidneys have to function, the kidneys are functioning. Every organ functions the way it has to be. Why it is the way it is, that's called order. It is not only within an individual, externally also. How the wind blows, how the water flows, how the sun shines, how the stars are, how the moon is, how the earth is, how all the planets are, everything is in its own order. There is no disorder at all in this creation. There is a perfect order. And that order has to be maintained, isn't it? Suppose one day sun does not shine. What will happen? See the disaster. Imagine, it will not happen. It should not happen also. I am just asking. It should happen. Suppose, imagine if the sun, the earth doesn't come rotating, does not move its orbit. We cannot have the day and night. We cannot have seasons. Everything will be in a misplaced, isn't it? Now, the whole order is called what? Dharma. Understand now? The universal natural law and order governing the functions of every devata, everything here. And who is the protector of those order? Because the order is maintained, Jagat exists. All the living beings survive. Otherwise, what will happen? If Dharma water is not protected, then all the Jiva crops will get perished. The world will also will get destroyed. So what is that which maintains this Dharanat Dharma ityuchyate, that which upholds Dharma, maintains Dharma, protects Dharma is what? Is that to say Ishvara. Remaining in the form of order, one who protects everything is called what? Is called Setuhu. Is it clear now? The Bhagavan, like the Setu, just as Setu protects the water and helps the plants, the crops survive, similarly Bhagavan in the form of Setu protects the Dharma, thereby sustains and preserves the universe. This is the information interesting in the Upasana section. We understand Bhagavan is a Setu. Setu is another glory for Bhagavan here. And Shankara says, Punaha Bhagavan Stuyate. Bhagavan is again glorified as Setu. And one more word is there, Vidhrutihi. Vidhrutihi means Vidharanaha. And Shankara says here, Varna Dharma, Ashrama Dharma, and all this, Karta, Kriya, Karakam, isn't it? The performer, performance, object of action. All these are all maintained because of this. For Vidha, Vidhrutam, one by whom everything is upheld. This is where you understand the word Dharmaha is another word for Ishvara. Dharma means the universal natural law and order, natural moral law and order, which upholds, which sustains everything here, is Bhagavan. This way, our understanding of Bhagavan has to move on from a small personal God, a small tiny form, into this very abstract order. You don't see the order through physical eyes. Setuhu Vidhrutihi. Vidhrutihi means what? One who the ordainer of natural laws. One who is in the form of the natural laws, which governs all the everything which is happening here, called Vidhrutihi. Setuhu Vidhrutihi. And Shankara says here, suppose if this universe is not protected by Bhagavan in the form of Dharma, what will happen? Vishwam vinashyati. The universe will perish if Bhagavan in the form of Dharma, the Setu, does not protect the Dharma. Ishvara does not uphold the Dharma, isn't it? Then the universe will perish. What is that which keeps the universe going? What is that which, everything is, how everything is maintained without being instructed? Imagine every phenomenon has to be instructed. Come on, sun, get up in the morning, go, sun, give shot, shine now. Oh, come on, air, come on, you keep blowing. Water, come on, rains, you keep coming. I tell you, rains have to come, isn't it? Crops have to grow, something has to happen, sun must be shining. Everything without being instructed, everything just by being what it is contributing for the need, for taking care of the needs of the beings, living creatures in the world. Is it? Whether it's rain, water or wind, all our biological, physiological, physical, emotional, social, you know, the life needs are all taken care of by Bhagavan in the form of nature. That is why nature is not a mere bundle of energy. It's all manifestation of knowledge. Order itself is manifestation of knowledge. This is the big difference between how a scientist looks at everything and how a Vedantin looks at everything. A Shastrajna looks at everything as Ishvara. Bhagavan means what? Everything is manifestation of knowledge. The natural, the universal natural moral law and order, involving all these natural laws which govern, which uphold everything, because of which alone the universe is sustained, universe survives, universe lives, all the living beings survive. Isn't it? Therefore, vidhritihi. Vidhritihi means the ordainer of everything, vidhata, the protector of everything, sustainer of everything. Like the setu. Therefore, setuhu. Bhagavan is the setu. Which means, setuhu is another word for protector of dharma, the order. Athaya atma saha setuhu vidhrutihi. Now, let us read next word sentence now. Yesham lokanam asambhedaya na etam setum ahoratre tarataha na jara na mrityuhu na shokaha na sukrutam na dushkrutam sarve papmanaha ataha nivartante apahata papma hi yeshaha brahmalokaha. Okay. Now all these words talk about the glory of Ishvara only. It is not the setuhu vidhrutihi. It is lokanam asambhedaya. Asam sambhedaha. Sambhedaha means vinashaha. Asambhedaha means for the sake of non-destruction of the universe, which means for the protection of the universe, for sustenance of the universe, for the maintenance of the universe, Bhagavan is here as the Setuhu. Therefore, and for that Bhagavan, na etam setum ahoratre, day and night do not afflict Ishvara. Bhagavan is free from day and night. Day is Ishvara, night is Ishvara. Bhagavan is free from day and night. But we people have, we say what? Now it is day for us. When you fall asleep, when you don't need to fall asleep, when it gets dark, we say, whoa, we have night, we have day. So for ordinary people, there's day, we have day and night means we become the victim, we become affected by. In day we are happy, night, no, it gets dark. So we say day and night we have. We have day and night. Does Ishvara have day and night? No. Ishvara doesn't have day and night. Then what is then? Day is Ishvara. Night is also Ishvara. One who is free from day and night. This means ahoratre. Then tarataha. Na jara. And we have old age. Isn't it? We have old age. But Ishvara is free from old age. Na mrityuhu, and we are subject to death. We means what? As ignorant person, as ajnani, being endowed with body, mind, and complex, having identity with the body, mind is complex, and we are subject to death. Whereas Ishvara is free from mortality. Mrityuhu na shokaha. Thank God. Imagine Ishvara also has some sorrow. Na shokaha. So Ishvara is free from grief, because grief is a phenomenon which is also manifestation of Ishvara. Grief is Ishvara. Ishvara has no grief. Look at everything as a natural phenomenon, and every natural phenomenon is what? Ishvara. Every phenomenon is manifestation of knowledge, illumination of consciousness. That is why it is known by the word what? Devata. You shoka devata. Dukkha always is devata only. Everything is, we don't really never call dukkha devata, okay? But really speaking, every phenomenon is called devata. Why? Because everything is manifestation of knowledge. So here, na mrityuhu, na shokaha, then na sukrutam, na dushkrutam. Are you reading it along with me? Na sukrutam, na dushkrutam. Ishvara is free from punyam and papam. Ishvara has no doership. Ishvara has no enjoyership. Ishvara has no punyam, no papam. What all jiva has, Ishvara does not have. Why? Because punyam is Ishvara. Papam is Ishvara. Sukrutam is Ishvara. Dushkrutam is Ishvara. The law which determines the punyam and papam results, isn't it? Is also what? Ishvara. Ishvara is free from punya papa. Therefore, sarve papmanaha ataha nivartante. And Ishvara is absolutely free from all the punya papams. Now, one who meditates upon this Ishvara, imagine, if Ishvara, this is what Ishvara is. Ishvara is the one who is free from everything, one who is in the form of everything. There's whatever is Ishvara. If sukham is, pleasure is Ishvara. Dukkham is Ishvara. Anger is Ishvara. I'm just adding, okay? It's not here, not said here. I'm just wanting to understand. Anger is Ishvara. Pain is Ishvara. Every phenomenon is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. Whereas Ishvara is free, Ishvara does not have anything. Nothing, na Ishvara is free from jara, mrityuhu, old age, death, sukham, dukkham, shokaha. Ishvara is free from punya papa. Ishvara is free from everything. Ishvara has nothing. So what? Therefore, if you meditate upon that Ishvara, if a person practices this Dahara Brahma Upasanam, and he will also have what? Ishvara status. He will also become free from all this. Then Brahma Lokaha. He is Brahma Lokaha. Is Brahma. Ishvara is Brahma. The one who meditates upon is Ishvara also will attain this Brahma Loka. He attains Ishvara status. Okay. The whole first mantra discusses what now? Upasya Ishvara Stutihi. Glory of the Ishvara only. This is what the Lord is. Ishvara is not the one, somebody who you think as a small thing here. Ishvara is actually the universal natural law and order. Ishra is a protector of the order. Dharma Gupta, he is the Setu, he is the Vidhrutihi, because of whom the whole universe remains, becomes sustained, maintained. All the beings are sustained and protected. And one who is free from all these things. Only then Ishvara. So what Upanishad wants to teach is, whatever is protected by Ishvara means what? Everything is Ishvara. If we say water sustains the wave, form means what? Wave is water. If we say Ishvara sustains everything means what? Everything is Ishvara. Everything Ishvara is free from everything. Ishvara is, there is no such a thing called death outside of Ishvara. Mortality is Bhagavan Ishvara. Pain is Ishvara. Old age is Ishvara. So everything, Dushkrutam is Ishvara, Sukrutam is Ishvara, Punyam is Ishvara, Papam is Ishvara. Ishvara is free from everything. And if you also discover Ishvara as your real nature, you are free from everything. Unless and until you discover Ishvara as your own real nature, where is Ishvara? Ishvara is there as the very essential nature of every jiva. Then you are free. That is what the teaching behind. Sal Upasya Devata Stuti. So only when you understand Upasya, this is the greatness of Upasya Devata Ishvara. This is the God, this is the Lord I meditate upon. When you meditate upon Ishvara, who are you meditate upon? Ganapati is one small trunk, or small big elephant face, or something. That's okay, nothing wrong. You can meditate upon that also. Initially is okay. But actually understanding Bhagavan as universal natural law and order, but understanding Bhagavan as the whole, when you look at Bhagavan as the universal natural law and order, you are understanding Bhagavan as the whole. Isn't it true? Order means everything within the realm of order. Every existent thing, anything and everything which enjoys the status of being existent is what? A phenomenon. And existent means it is existent within the realm of an order. Everything protected by what? That order. And who is protector of the order? Ishvara. You give the name Ishvara. Your understanding of God has to be shifted to the universal, natural, moral law and order which sustains the everything. Remaining in the form of Dharma, one who protects everything is Dharma Gupta, protector of the Dharma. Is it clear? And if you meditate upon Ishvara as such, is one the glorious is the Lord, then you will also, what now? Become Ishvara. How do you become Ishvara? I don't become Ishvara. You discover Ishvara as your real nature, then you are Ishvara. Now let's go to next sentence, next mantra now. Tasmadva Yetam Setum Tirtva Andaha San Anandho Bhavati. Now, what happens to the meditator if a person meditates upon this glorious Lord? Is it what happens? He says, as one's own real nature, Yetam Setum Tirtva, the meditator. Tasmadva Yetam Setum Tirtva. You have to be very careful here. Setuhu here does not mean bridge. The word Setuhu here means the Lord, the protector of Dharma. Lord the protector of dharma, is known by the word Setuhu. And Tirthva means, the word Tirthva literally means having crossed, having overcome. But here Tirthva means having attained. Having attained. Setum Tirthva here means having attained the Lord in terms of knowledge as one's own real nature. If you understand Ishvara as one's own nature, having attained the Lord in terms of knowledge. We understand Ishvara. So I told 108 times all the time, Bhagavan is a concept to be understood. Bhagavan is a fact to be understood, isn't it? So Setum Tirthva means having understood Bhagavan, having attained Bhagavan in terms of knowledge. If a person meditating upon Ishvara, having understood Ishvara, then what happens now? Andaha san anando bhavati. So having attained Ishvara, having attained Ishvara means having understood Ishvara as one's own real nature. How does one understand Ishvara? First meditates upon Ishvara, thereby he becomes qualified for knowledge, and thereby he attains the knowledge. Meditation upon Ishvara finally culminates in the attainment of the knowledge of Ishvara. Understanding Bhagavan. Isn't clear now? Meditation should culminate in the attainment of knowledge of Ishvara. As then, once you understand who Bhagavan is, how Bhagavan is, and then Bhagavan, the Ishvara, isn't it, as one's own real nature, then what happens to such a person? Andaha san anandaha bhavati. As an ignorant person, he would have had identity with the body, mind and complex, isn't it? Andaha means, andaha literally means blind. As ignorant person, he would have had identity with the body, mind and complex. Such a person, anandaha bhavati. Anandaha means he will not have identity anymore with the inert body, mind and complex. Anandaha means he shifts his identity from the inert body, mind and complex. Does not mean anandaha, he means inert. Be very careful. Every word is a different meaning. Andaha literally means blind. But here, physical body, mind, complex, inert. Therefore, it's called Andha. Does the mind see? Does the body know anything? No. Therefore, it's called Andha. So, the person who is ignorant of Ishvara has identity with the inert body, mind, and complex. Then he is called Andaha. But now, as the one who has understood Ishvara as one's own Swarupam, such a person, Anandaha Bhavati. Anandaha means he does not have identity with the inert body, mind, sense complex anymore. He does not take himself to be the inert material body, mind, sense complex anymore. Why? He has resolved his identity with Bhagavan. He recognized Bhagavan as his own real nature. Anando bhavati. Okay, then. Viddhasan. Say no. Aviddho bhavati. Now, when he is ignorant of Bhagavan, having identity with the body, mind and complex, as a limited individual, he becomes afflicted. Viddha means afflicted, affected. He gets hurt easily. He gets, guilt. He used to become victim of guilt and hurt. Isn't it? Viddha means afflicted, badhikapattavan. Now, having understood Bhagavan, like I'll arrive at Bhagavan as one's own real nature, now he says what? Aviddha bhavati. He becomes unafflicted. He thus becomes unafflicted, becomes unaffected by everything. Aviddha bhavati. It's all understanding of Bhagavan. When a person, somebody says, I have understood Bhagavan, what does it mean? For him, Bhagavan, Ishwara, is not an object anymore. The one who has understood Ishwara, for him, Ishwara, Bhagavan, is there as one's own real nature. Where is God for him? For him, all that is, there is only Ishwara. And that Ishwara which alone is there, as everything is there as one's own real nature. And such a person is Anandaha, is Aviddaha, is no more inert matter, for he is no more afflicted. Aviddaha Bhavati. Then Upatapi San Anupatapi Bhavati. Say now, Upatapi San Anupatapi Bhavati. Upatapi means one who is afflicted by pains, diseases, etc. First, aviddha means unafflicted, emotionally unafflicted, isn't it? Now, upatapi means one who is subject to illnesses, physical illnesses is upatapi. And anupatapi means he becomes free from even physical illnesses. Physical means what? One who are afflicted by physical illnesses also. See, hurt, guilt, etc. belongs to emotional problems. He becomes free from physical problems as well as emotional problems. See, body has problems, mind has problems, but he, because of his objectivity, because identity with Ishwara, he becomes free from physical problems as well as emotional problems. Aviddha bhavati means he becomes free from emotional problems. And anupatapi bhavati means he becomes free from physical problems. Body will have problems, but he will become free from physical problems because of his objectivity towards the body, mind, and complex. Because for him, the swarupam is not the body, swarupam is not the mind, swarupam is not the pranas, swarupam is Ishwara. Isn't it? That's the meaning. Anupatapi bhavati. Thus, this portion is all about upasana, will be like this only. Bear with me, okay? This also you have to see upasana. Tasmadva etam setum tirtva api naktam ahaha eva abhinishpadyate. Now he says, now there is no day and night. Day and night means what? One remains, the person who has resolved his identity with Ishwara, recognized Ishwara as one's own swarupam, such a person is what? He is always the person of effulgence. For him, what is the self for him? For him, swarupam is Ishwara. Therefore, he has not afflicted by day and night. He has no complaint about the day and night. Then, sakrit vibhato, hi eva, yesha brahma lokaha. It means, sakrit vibhataha means sada vibhataha, sada yekarupaha. The one who has attained Ishwara in terms of knowledge as one's own swarupam, such a person, sada vibhataha means, for him there is only light all the time. There is no day and night. For him, day is Ishvara, night is Ishvara, and day and night exist where? In awareness. Everything is what now? There is no day and night, there is only effulgence. Only effulgence. Therefore, it's all not physically, don't take literally here. It is all seeing the fact. Really speaking, there is no real day, real night. There is seeming day, seeming night. But day and night, where do they exist? In awareness, which is Bhagavan Swarupam. Isn't this for, he says, Sada Vibhataha. Sakrit Vibhataha means always, there is only effulgence. Sada Yekarupaha. Always, no, Yekarupaha. There is only one form of effulgence. He says, Svena Rupena Yeshaha Brahma Lokaha. There is only Brahmaiva Lokaha Brahma Lokaha. There is no world other than Brahma. Okay, now having discussed this much about, having talked about the glory of Ishvara, so this Ishvara is of this glories, such glorious is the Lord, and by meditating upon that Ishvara in one's own mind, in the mouth of one's own, Dharakasha, seeing this Dharakasha as that Ishvara, one can attain what now? Ishvara in terms of knowledge as one's own Swarupam. And having discovered Ishvara's Swarupam, Ishvara as one's own Swarupam, one becomes free from, or also attains status of, one becomes one with Ishvara. Is it? Attained becomes one with Ishvara. Then, now he says, but to attain this as a meditator, one should also follow the discipline of Brahmacharyam. The next topic he is going to talk in this is Brahmacharyam. If a person practices meditation, remain following strictly the discipline of Brahmacharyam, celibacy. What is Brahmacharyam here? No. Brahmacharyam is the discipline of being free from the attachment to the opposite sex. You do not run away from everything, deprive yourself of everything, but being dependent, being attached to this, being free from the attachment to the opposite sex is called Brahmacharyam. So here Shankara, the Upanishad says, Tad ya eva etam brahmalokam brahmacharyena anuvindanti teshameva yesha brahmalokah yesham yesham okay sarveshu lokeshu kamacharo bhavati iti chaturthah khandah. This is the fourth section, here ends. Just before concluding the section, Upanishad suddenly presents this, talks about the discipline of Brahmacharyam. Tadya eva yetam brahmalokam brahmacharyena anuvindanti. By being given to the discipline of celibacy, Brahmacharyam, if a person strictly lives his life, you know, without being attached to the opposite sex, then if he practices meditation, not mere Brahmacharyam, the meditation, the practice of meditation will be effective if a person also follows this Brahmacharyam discipline. If it is an indisciplined person practicing meditation, isn't it? That's what I'm saying. So discipline, like one has to live a disciplined life. There were brahmacharyena, the meditator who was also given to the discipline of brahmacharyam. Such people, anuvindanti, they only attain brahmaloka. Attaining brahmaloka means what? They go to brahmaloka. Attain jnanam, upasakaha has to strictly follow the discipline of brahmacharyam. Only then it is possible for him to go to brahmaloka. Then he can attain jnanam there. He attains the knowledge of the reality, and he understands Ishvara is not for him anything else. Ishvara is his own sarupam. And not only that, sarveshu lokeshu kamacharaha bhavati. Not only he will go to brahmaloka, attain moksha there, kama mukti there, he will have that freedom to, is it, free movement, freedom in moving around. He can move freely at his will everywhere, all the lokas, which means he can fulfill all his desires becomes fulfilled. And he will be satya sankalpaha, satya kamaha, and he can move freely at his will, you know, everywhere. And not only that, he can also go to Brahma loka, highest of the lokas. There he'll attain jnanam, he'll attain krama muktihi. Idhi chaturtaha kandaha. Now, in the next section, before I go to the next section, I tell you. It's interesting for your next section, even though it was boring for you all this, only Ishvara Stuti, Upasya Devata Stuti, how glorious Bhagavan is. If Bhagavan also has everything, what Bhagavan is he, isn't it? But Ishvara is the one who is free from everything. That we understood. And once you know your Swarupam being Ishvara, if your identity is with your real nature, not with the matter, then you are also Ishvara. You also have all Ishvara's glories become your glories. You are of that glories. That's what Upanishad wants to say here. The next section is exclusively for, next section actually only presents the glory of the brahmacharyam. Brahmacharya, discipline of brahmacharyam alone separately discussed in the following section. I'm going to stop now, okay? I know it's time for tea. You know why first class all of you look a little tired and dull? Today I seem to be fresh. Usually I get tired. Even though I'm a little jet lagged, but it's okay. I'm much better now. But it's because very simple lesson, but I can talk. Ishvara topic I like. You know, Ishvara means order. Order means I really see that. As I'm talking to you, I see Bhagavan as Ishvara, Satyam. Thanks to my teacher. Isn't it? I see, that's why it's very interesting for me. Even though when you listen, the reason is Upanishadic sentences are not complete. And the words are not, we have to understand a little differently. One attains, isn't it, from Brahman, a different way of presenting it. Because Saguna Brahma Upasanam, Dahara Brahma Upasanam is all discussed again. The following section, Upanishad is going to talk about actually many disciplines. And what Upanishad is going to say, by following all these different disciplines, what one has to enjoy the benefit, that benefit of following different disciplines can be attained by merely following one discipline called brahmacharyam. The urukkam, is very important here. So much emphasis in Shastra. Brahmacharya, so many disciplines he is going to enumerate here. See, Upanishad has a trick, no? It talks about so many other disciplines. So we are informed, will be informed of so many other disciplines. And having, you know, enumerating this, all those disciplines, if a person follows all these disciplines, there'll be each discipline will give one result, isn't it? Each discipline serves as a sadhana, a means. And each following each sadhana will give you a different, its corresponding result. By following different disciplines as different sadhanas, by practicing different sadhanas, you will have different benefits also. So one can enjoy all the benefits of practicing different sadhanas just by following one discipline called sadhana called Brahmacharyam. This is what Upanishad wants to say in the next section. I'm not going to do now. I'm stopping. You know why? You need to have a lot of knowledge also. Sanskrit language also be nice. And here Upanishad uses this some given alankara called Slesha Alankara. In Tamil, it's called Sledai. In Amakritam, it's called Sleshaha, which means in English, we call it pun. Pun means what? Punning of words. One word is used in two different meanings. I tell you example. Parvati Parameshwarau means what? Parvati and Parameshwara. Same word. Parvati Pa Rameshwarau. Lakshmi Narayana. Sarvado Madhavaha. Look at this. Sarvado Madhavaha. One word, okay? Sarvado Madhavaha is one word. If you split, break this word, Sarvadaha Madhavaha. Madhava, Lord Vishnu, the bestower of everything, giver of everything. Sarvadaha Madhavaha. Then, Sarvada Umadhavaha. You can split that way also. Umadhavaha means husband of Uma, Shiva. Anyway, one expression, if you put it differently, should give two different meanings. Pun. In Sanskritam, it's called a Slesha Alankara. And here, Upanishad uses this Slesha. It gives two meanings. You know, suppose it says, Yajnaha is one word. Yajnaha means what? Worship. Simple worship, performance of ritual is called Yajnaha. And the word, if we perform Yajna, if we worship the Lord every day, we perform a by performing a given fire ritual, what will be the result? What you will get? Sadhyam. What is the benefit of performing this? That benefit, now what to enjoy, what to get as a result of practicing, following, doing yajna, is also known by the word yajna. The means also is called yajna, the result is also called, used, known by the word yajna. So yajnaha means what? Ritual, worship. Yajnaha is also means Ishvara. By worshipping, by performing a ritual, you will enjoy the benefit of what? Benefit of reaching Bhagavan. Ishvara is also called Yajnaha. Why it is called Yajnaha? Because, no? Yaha Janati Sarvam. Yajnaha. Yajnaha means Ishvara. The Lord is called Yajnaha. two different words. Yagyaha means ritual, yagyaha means the Lord. And then we are going to use different words. Then ishtam. Ishtam means just a particular, small ritual. Puja is called ishtam. A ritual prescribed in the Veda is called ishtam. Shrauta karma. And the result of is called what now? Ishtam, eshana. Attainment of the self, atmeshana. Let the two words, that I'll do next class. No? I'm going to teach you all the words first. How one word gives two meanings. The means and the end, both are implied by the same words. The means, the asadhana, the means also means, and the result of the discipline, both means and the end, sadhana and sadhyam, both are implied by the same words. How? I have to teach it. And so many disciplines. And finally, Upanishad is going to say what? By following different disciplines, you get different results, and all these benefits you can enjoy just by practicing following this brahmacharyam. So brahmacharyam is important. So the whole next section deals with only brahmacharyam. Okay, so I'm stopping here. The next section we'll see in the next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.